This is the Tank Podcast for the 23rd of November, 2007. You can see the video of this podcast by going to YouTube and searching for the Tank Podcast or the Tank Vodcast.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And suddenly,
we're on. Here we are. Just like that.
Hello.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning.
We always say that. Good mid-tark, all the rest of it.
Yes, it's great to be here once again inside the tank.
In the tank.
And we're having a great time, with as usual.
Two cameras once again.
I forgot that camera was on. Goodness gracious me. I feel like I'm being spied upon.
You are, twice. Richard Saunders and Stefan Soyka here with you once again in the Tank Podcast, if you're listening to us. Hello.
Yes.
Or hello. Vodcast, if you're watching
so
us.
So you can see us drinking our cups of coffee out of skeptics' mugs.
Oh, you've got a skeptics' mug. That's nice.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Appreciate that.
Present from me.
Thank you.
Now, if you remember, cast your mind back to the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long.
I can't remember.
I mentioned I'd be going to Tasmania.
Oh, yes, I do remember that now. Yes.
Skeptics National Convention, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, well, just before the show, you were telling me a little bit about it. It sounded like it was a hoot.
It was a hoot. Look, those people watching, I even got a carry bag.
A show bag.
A show bag.
Oh, my goodness.
Fantastic stuff.
Geez, these skeptics are sort of very opulent these days, aren't they?
They're just no expenses.
Throwing things around, trips overseas, interstate. It's amazing.
We can even afford two cameras.
Oh.
How about that? But no, the convention was truly fun, great fun. And the speakers were top class, very interesting environmental debates going on.
Yeah.
Now, the DVD of the convention will be available probably before Christmas.
Did you film it?
I filmed it.
Oh, okay. So you've actually captured all the speakers.
I have.
Wow.
And for those people watching this vodcast, I'm just putting up a few clips of the convention right now. And I filmed all sorts of other interviews. And this is what this tank is all about. It's a report from the convention.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing it.
A couple of interviews. But before we get to that, last episode we went to the Mind Body Wallet. Mind Body
Spirit Festival. Yes,
Mind Body Wallet.
Oh, that's an excellent extravaganza. Isn't it?
It was, and you remember, of course, 5 years ago we went there.
We did a little bit of a report there. And had a lot of fun.
Had a lot of fun.
Got Reiki'd,
healed. And the pranic healing.
Yeah, pranic healing. My auras were sort of sent down into a garbage bin.
That's right.
And this sort of janitor sort of wrapped them up and took them away. And I still feel fine.
It's the best thing for you. Now, we got all sorts of wonderful...
I can't believe what you...
Spellcraft magazine.
The amazing cornucopia of publications that you've found. It's just fabulous.
The Psychic Directory for 2007. Now, speaking of the Psychic Directory of 2007, and we'll have a special report about this later in the show with our good friend Kylie Sturgis, who will be giving a special report, is a full page here of predictions for this year.
It's now November, late November.
So we've still got about 6 weeks left of this year to go, but I think we can safely make some comments about these wonderful predictions for 2007.
It's pretty funny.
Coming up later in the show, well worth waiting.
They're right on the mark, these psychics, aren't they? I mean, they give these vague guesses. And 50% of the time they completely miss, and the other 50% of the time they pretty much miss. But they're pretty close on 100% of the time.
Now, here's a running theme in our show lately.
Oh.
Ear candling. Now, here is a very nice. There we go. Look at that
huge glossy brochure.
Watching.
They've spent a fortune on this.
A huge glossy brochure for ear candling.
We do graphic design. That brochure would have cost about probably $2,000. To do the layout and design.
It's so just incredible.
Ear candling is a booming business.
It's a booming business, but I think a few episodes ago we did warn people, don't do it. If you get hot wax dripping into your ear, onto your eardrum, you'll know about it, you know?
It'll hurt. But what they've said here on the front page, and this is what I aspire to in everyday life.
Yes.
I aspire to discover pure wellness.
Pure wellness.
By sticking a candle in my ear
and lighting it,
I will become purely well. Now that is the essence of life right there, and it can
be achieved. The essence of something.
With sticking a candle in your ear. Look at that.
Now, believe it or not, I picked up this brochure. Thank you. Yes, where's the bin? There it goes.
It magically flew straight into the bin.
Isn't that incredible? Where it belongs. Sadly, I picked up this brochure in a pharmacy.
You did not.
I did. And they were selling on the shelves boxes of ear candles for you to stick in your ear. That's right.
And the pharmacist was condoning this?
Well, they're on his shelf.
Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't one of his know. Assistants
one would
put it
hope
there.
He doesn't know or she doesn't know, but you, the sad truth is these days you have to be very careful before you trust the advice coming from pharmacies.
Yeah, I know.
Because I mean, if they're going to send you things to stick in your ear, and homeopathy, a lot of pharmacies sell homeopathy. The trouble is, yes, of course, most pharmacists are good, decent people with scientific knowledge.
Yeah.
But for the average punter coming in off the street, you don't know what's proven medicine and what's out of quackery. And if it's all on the pharmacy shelf,
that's right.
You trust.
It's confused everything.
It's not good.
I feel like we've gone back like 200 years. And it's like snake oil and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Now, just before we wrap up this little introduction session, Living Now, one of our favourite magazines.
Oh, fabulous.
I picked this up at the Mind Body Spirit Festival and I spoke to the husband of the editor.
Is that right?
Who? And I said to him...
And they gave you the time of day?
They did. Oh. And I said to him, how do you know if the stuff you advertise in here is real or if it's authentic. Quackery or if it's just a con? And he says they don't check them, but if there's complaints made, they will remove
the ads.
So this is like Pandora's box. So over the next few months, we're going to go through this magazine
and shut them down.
And where it's legitimate, and where it's bogus, we will let them know and see if they're good to their word.
They won't. I can tell you right now they won't be, because they make money out of advertising.
They do make money out of advertising, but every page, honestly, people.
Look, I like this.
Which one's that one?
Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind, in a two-hour seminar.
You know, I used to be a skeptic, but now I'm not so sure.
So there you go. You, after 2 billion years of evolution, you can now spend 2 hours at a seminar and evolve your brain a little further.
Another ad for ear candles in here.
Fabulous.
Natural health products. What's natural about sticking a candle in your ear?
I don't know. I've seen monkeys do it.
All right, Stefan, shall we get on with the show?
I think we certainly should.
All right, you'll see us in about half an hour.
Looking forward to it.
Here we go. Australian skeptics have held national conventions since about 1985. This year's national convention was held on the 17th and 18th of November 2007 at the University of Tasmania. The theme was the use and abuse of scientific data in the environmental debate. The Australian Skeptics National Convention has been held in Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Adelaide, Canberra, the Gold Coast, Newcastle, but this is the first time it was held in Hobart. As per normal with an Australian Skeptics Convention, the list of speakers was most impressive. Sir Guy Green, convention opening and keynote address, Emeritus Professor Gareth W. Poutridge, concerning the robustness of climate models. Dr. John Hunter, the anti-greenhouse lobby, skeptics or contrarians? Dr. Ian Allison, why are the glaciers disappearing if the climate is not warming? Professor Barry Casselith, dubious treatments promoted as viable cancer therapies in the USA. Professor Ray Lowenthal, history of cancer quackery in Australia. Jeff Law, how statistics and scientific information can be misleading. Professor Jim Allen, Hume, Skepticism and Miracles, Grounding Science on Skeptical Premises. Dr. Kevin Bonham, Scientific Trump Cards in the Tasmanian Forestry Conflict. Gary Backer, A History and Current Status of Skeptical Clinical Psychology. Bob Gordon, The Forest Debate and the Great Green Lies. Peter Stevenson, The Ultimate Fate of the World's Nuclear Waste. Sarah Wilkes, When Science and Environmental Activism Meet. Stan Moore, Plastic Shopping Bags, Don't Let the Facts Get in the Way of the Solution. Loretta Marin, Pharmacies, Feasting on Fat. Dr. Chrissy Wilson, Anomalistic Psychology, The Science of Self-Deception. Three major skeptical prizes were given out at the annual dinner, the first one being Skeptic of the Year. This year, this award went to the Jelly Bean Lady
Loretta Marin for her untiring efforts in promoting skepticism and fighting quackery, especially in pharmacies. The Skeptics Prize for Critical Thinking went to Kylie Sturgis from Perth, Western Australia, for her encouragement and teaching of skepticism to school students. And finally, the Bent Spoon Award for 2007, awarded to the perpetrator of the most preposterous piece of paranormal piffle, went to Marina Mandzoufas, head of programming at the ABC, the national broadcaster, for authorizing the dreadful Psychic Investigators TV show. I took the opportunity to talk to Loretta Marin and Kylie Sturgis about their prizes the next day. Now I'm talking with the Jelly Bean Lady, Loretta Marin, and of course Kylie Sturgis. Now ladies, two big winners from last night. Loretta, what do you think?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I guess the message I have is that with the help of the skeptics and skeptically minded people, I can stand on their shoulders, the shoulders of giants, and wave the flag for science and for medical research.
That's fantastic. Now, I was wondering this a little while ago, because you're out there crusading against quackery, more or less. Do you get many people trying to show you the error of your ways and convince you to their magical way of thinking?
Not often, probably because I don't let them get a word in edgeways. But what I do tend to find, if I'm at a party, sometimes I'm left sitting on my own. And then I find that the person was a naturopath or had a naturopath. Anyway, I've learnt to live with that.
Now, you wrote a very strong article a couple of years ago for The Skeptic about naturopaths.
That's right. Naturopaths, we're dying to see them. That followed a very sad case of a few friends of mine who actually died at the hands of naturopaths. And they were never taken to task because it was always meant that it was their choice to do that. And one was lung cancer that was picked up very, very early through another x-ray, and he went natural, the wheatgrass diet, and he actually sold stuff to other patients. And his daughter was HIV positive, and she died last April.
Oh dear.
So these terribly terrible stories, and I keep hearing, even on radio, people would ring in and tell really tragic stories.
Of course, radio is, as many naturopaths appear on talkback radio to give medical advice, which is just shameful, really.
Well, absolutely. The reason I was given my segment on radio was because the announcer actually interviewed the naturopath on Sunday. I was on Saturday, and I was able to show him all the evidence that the stuff he was taking was probably poisoning him.
Yeah. Now, for those people watching and listening, if you go to the Mystery Investigators site, mysteryinvestigators.com, you can click the link for the Jelly Bean Lady and see many of your media appearances, your radio and some TV or some video clips.
Yes, some video clips as well, even the 2005 conferences on there as well, my presentations as well, and a few really good radio interviews are right up there now.
Worth listening to. Now, Kylie, good to see you again. You were at the conference, of course, last year in Melbourne. Now you're here in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And, wow, congratulations on winning the Skeptics Prize for Critical Thinking.
Yes, I feel very much the same way Loretta did, which was mentioning there about how this is now just an opportunity to extend yourself even further and see now that we've got support and a voice being given more and more to skeptics in this regard. So it's just a wonderful opportunity. I'm still a bit overwhelmed. And I'm sitting next to Loretta, whose speech I heard last year, and I was like, when I saw her before. And now I'm sitting next to her. Oh, my goodness.
Now, personally, I know it's a great pleasure for me to teach skepticism to children, school children. Is that the same sort of joy you get out of it?
Yes, and the fact that it's a wonderful opportunity to see young people practically apply something which is going to continue on for the rest of their lives, or at least one hopes, because that's certainly something I want to continue to test. How do we do this better? How can we really encourage this more? And just like anything which needs to be empirically tested, like claims of homeopathy, we have to keep on saying to ourselves, yes, but is there a better way? What does work in it? And that's something that from this conference our people are saying, okay, fine, look at natural therapies, but look at it critically and find out what does work, which is why I find Loretta's work so admirable in the way that she's saying, well, the research isn't showing that it works in these particular cases, and we should be more critical and encouraging of those things that do.
Isn't it interesting, though, how many of our enemies categorise us as being somehow heartless or soulless?
I think that is very sad.
That? I mean, especially when you get such a term like naturopath, with the word nature sort of woven in there.
It makes them sound like they're all sweetness and good and they're only from nature and all the rest of it.
Well, as demonstrated in the conference already yesterday, snakes are pretty natural too. And so are certain sorts of poisons. Mm. And yeah.
That's true.
And so maybe it could be said that it's natural in ourselves to have cognitive dissonance that want to believe it. We want so much to get better, so much to think that what we're doing is going to be healthy for us, and we grasp at these little terms. And so being able to critically evaluate those and find out for ourselves, well, just how much of it is going to be helping us and how much of it is just a label is really important.
Now, Kylie, in your experience, what do the girls at your school, what strange mystical things are they into or they have heard about? Probably UFOs, I would expect, monsters, that sort of thing.
It's intriguing. The UFOs and your monsters, research has demonstrated, and I'm interested in finding out whether or not it's continuing to demonstrate, is more about young men and males, more of a male obsession. But women, naturopaths, tarot cards, horoscopes, the things which are more social realm in regards to seeing how we relate to each other and how we care about each other. And we can see how that's also quite traditional as well. The mother as the caregiver, the mother as the sort of the home nurse. This is carried on in young women today, and certainly we can see it in publications. Dolly magazine is very popular for teenagers here, and it's carried on through to magazines like Cosmo, Clio, and even the work that Loretta has been published in, Women's New Idea, I believe. New Idea, it's still there. Big bumper section in the middle of your women's magazine saying, go for it, the horoscope way. What's your love life going to be if he's a Taurus? Oh, my God, I'm a Scorpio. It'll never work. Oh, and to be able to encourage a young woman to say, well, do you really judge your entire love life by what a celestial body is going to be saying about your proximity to some other celestial body? And I believe it was Tim Minchin, who has a great song, fellow West Australian, you know, about making sure that your mind isn't so open that your brain falls out.
I like says, that expression, yes.
If you can prove this, please take my piano, because honestly, and $1 million.
And my wife.
And my wife, because if you can demonstrate this, hey, maybe you might be able to improve all of our love lives, let alone our health and so forth.
I like that expression, a mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's opened, except if it's opened in the plane.
Yes.
There's a time and a place for an open mind and a time and place for critical thinking.
It's certainly open before it's like 5 metres from the ground.
Yeah,
really
that's
good.
Right. Now, Loretta, just getting back to the male-female thing, are many naturopaths, or should I say, are many women naturopaths, do you find, more so than doctors?
Pretty well every naturopath I've ever met has been a woman, but
really?
I know there are several out there because they're usually the ones in the court cases now for having harmed, like the baby that died,
uh-huh.
The gentleman with the kidney condition that was given dialysis, and so men, if there's dollar in it, they're usually in there as well, but
of course,
I generally find it's the women that always make themselves available to the support groups. And support groups are notorious for not being managed, and they'll invite naturopaths in, and the next thing it's undermining, because they'll actually attack doctors, and it's undermining doctor-patient relationships, and sick people with major illnesses like cancer patients are very vulnerable to suggestion, and that really is quite sad.
I like the way that we say that the ND after a naturopath, their qualification stands for not a doctor. Well, Loretta and Kylie, congratulations to you both once again. Thanks for talking to us on the tank.
Our pleasure.
And I hope we see you again next year in Adelaide.
That's right. I'll be there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The convention was an unqualified success. A big thank you to Fred Thornett and the Tasmanian Skeptics Committee for organising such a wonderful event. We trust they will organise it again one year in the not-too-distant future. We look forward to seeing everybody at the next Australian Skeptics Convention in Adelaide, South Australia.
G'day, I'm Carly Sturgis, and I'm going to be looking at some of the psychic predictions that were given for the psychic directory. Well, what makes a good psychic prediction? Hopefully one that comes true. How about 15 psychics making 40 predictions about what would happen in 2007? Let's have a review over and have a look at how many of them really held water. For number one, we have Tony Priest giving us the prediction that coalition forces would have a major policy change to the situation in Iraq. These would have been made within the next 12 months as a result.
Well, Tony Priest better be hoping that there was a saviour for him, because his political pundit career wasn't really looking that good. That gives us our first no. For number two, we have Brian Oldfield, and he's missing the ball with number two. He says that there was going to be a new type of sports drug which becomes popular and causes havoc. No, there weren't any new drugs. There were a couple of the old ones which made it really embarrassing for anyone who was a fan of the West Coast Eagles, so that gives us another no. For number three, we have Elizabeth Jensen telling us about further unrest in March and April of 07 in the Middle East, with an increase of terrorist activities. Now, I found cases of kidnapping, and there was one unfortunate death under helicopter fire in April. But we can't really say that this is supporting much of a claim of further unrest and increase in terrorist activity, because it's been happening there for quite some time. It's rather vague and rather a safe bet as well. I'm going to call it too safe to call. For number four, we have Mitchell Coombs claiming that Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban are soulmates and are going to be expecting a baby. That's called a pregnant pause, and unfortunately that was all they got. It's another no. Now, for number five, we have Joy Arena claiming that solar energy would be becoming prominent, worldwide, and on a grand scale. Dr. Carr hoped for that too, and it just didn't happen. That gives us a no for number five. For number six, we now have Simon Turnbull claiming that global positioning chips become standard security devices and your valuable items become tracked. No, that one bit the big brother with a big no. For number seven, we have Rose Abate-Mateo claiming that Russell Crowe would be in a sequel to A Good Year for number seven. No, not unless 310 to Yuma features not only an outlaw, but an outlaw running around a little car all around France. That one gives us another no. For number eight, we have Julie Jara not really giving peace a chance. With increased tensions in the Middle East, lynchings and retaliation, yeah, I think we had this one before. That one gives us too vague to really be a hit. Number nine gives us Wagia Samwell, who says that low-income families are going to be receiving greater government support. Well, after the Welfare to Work program, you would hope so. But then maybe we shouldn't believe that much in political promises either. That gives us a no for number nine. For number 10, Kelly Azara is believing in the numerology claim that 2007 was a number 9 year and might be challenging and disruptive for those in a comfort zone. I just don't get that. I'm going to give that one a vague. Now, for number 11, Angelica Danton said that John Howard might not be elected, could end up being succeeded by Malcolm Turnbull. Now, on the 20th of November, that was shown to be another big no. Don't cry for Mal, Angelica Danton. For number 12, we have Fired Away by Brian Oldfield with a volcanic eruption in India. Yeah, I'm afraid not. Wagia Samwell says for number 13 that automation causes job losses in professional fields like accountancy. Well, maybe now they can all become lion tamers. That's another no. For number 14, Tony Priest has a blockbuster novel story in the makings with an attempt to assassinate one of the coalition leaders by extremist supporters of Saddam Hussein. Well, it would make a good novel, but it's a no. For number 15, we have Leonora Paquero saying that there was going to be a change of leadership in the Labour Party before the next election. Most likely Rudd could be the doesn't-quite-have-it girl, Gillard. That gives us our first yes on our tally. Then we have Brett Bolas for number 16. He's making the claim that a world pop icon in his 30s was going to die from suicide or natural causes. Now, the likes of Chad Kroeger are really happy that didn't come true, and it makes it a no. Frances Bevan gives us number 17, a major shake-up in the Labour Party. Unpredictable feelings amongst all the voters. Now, predictability isn't really working for Frances Bevan in this case. That's a no. For number 18, we have Elizabeth Jensen claiming we would have many big miracles, mostly unreported, which is quite useful if you think about it, in India, Egypt and Australia. Some are really beautiful and they draw attention. I'm going to draw something now. It's going to be another no. Then we have 19, and this is Brian Oldfield telling us about September and John Howard and a serious medical issue involving his blood. Do not pass, no. Do not collect anything, Brian Oldfield. For number 20, we have wild weather and flooding doing a lot of damage in central Queensland, says Heather Alexander. Now this one's sadly also a washout and brings us another no. For 21, we have Kelly Azara bringing us to the halfway point with a claim of new government laws encouraging us to focus and channel our energies into activities and pursuits we love, creating personal income flow. I'm feeling the flow and it's just saying no. Sorry about that. And it's 22, with Tony Priest saying that there would be a major health problem for a very senior member of the royal family, probably Prince Philip. Not unless you call the younger members of the family a persistent pain. That's a no. But number 23, we have Simon Turnbull himself saying that the world has become so entrenched with terrorist activities that new photo ID cards are introduced. These cards are going to be creating an initial uproar. People then get used to it and begin to use them quite eagerly. I'm afraid, Simon Turnbull, that one's a no. And it goes on the board. That leads us to number 24 with Angelica Danton. And she gets a yes with a prediction. She says that Kim Beazley may not be the leader of the Labour Party next year. Kevin Rudd and Peter Garrett are going to be playing more of a role. Well, she gets a yes, but since Beazley's been buzzing around for so long, it's really not that unlikely that he'd disappear by now. Then we have number 25, with Australian scientists apparently going to be the prime motivators in solving global warming. Mitchell Coombs, it's not quite solved yet, and maybe science has a better chance of saying why instead of a psychic. As for me, I say too vague to call. For number 26, we have Brett Bolus, and he's getting a yes. Nearly on a roll here. The Aussie dollar is likely to hit 80 to 85 cents to the US dollar, and travel becomes more affordable. Well, considering the trends, that really isn't that surprising, admittedly. For number 27, it's another yes. This time, Kelly Azara is claiming that Delta Goodrum would make a return with a revamped image, new recording, as of August 2007. Yes, that is true. Azara was born to try, it seems. For number 28, we have Heather Alexander predicting that the southern states were likely to be hit with the coldest weather and global warming shown to be true due to that. That's a chilly reception with a big no for 28. For number 29, we have Joy Arena saying that Kylie Minogue would retire. Wrong, she's got a new album out, and that's on November the 26th. It's a no. For number 30, I quite enjoyed this one. Fashion, arts, new movement, exaggerated colours come into vogue, and it's photos, photos, photos as a popular collectible form. Fashion, art, sex, money, Rose, Abba Mateo, guess what? You're wrong. That takes us to 31, with Elizabeth Jensen saying that banks are going to be really naughty and hold all of your money in June and July of this year. You might like to travel lots of credit cards, but alleged psychic Elizabeth Jensen is still getting it wrong. It's a no. Number 32. Racial tensions building, says Julie Jara, and immigration begins to decline because of this. It gives us just another no on our list. Taking us to number 33, with Brett Bolus saying, let's hear it for the girls. The United States is going to get a female president. Rice or Clinton? Not in 2007, I'm afraid not. That's a no. Number 34, Frances Bevan returns, and he says Kylie Minogue's going to get married. No, she's too busy with the new album that Joy Arena didn't actually see coming either. It's a no. For number 35, Kylie Minogue again. This time she's starting up a holistic spa. Kelly Azara, she's too busy with those little hot pants, and besides, they might shrink in the steam. It's a no. For number 36, we've got headlines. Assassination attempt, a global leader, close to home. And when the terrorist cells are decimated, Mitchell Coombs will realise that, no, it was just a fantasy all along. It's just not happening. And that's a no. For 37, Angelica Danton makes it a little too easy for herself. She gets the idea that there's going to be an interest in psychic phenomena, it's going to be on the television, there's going to be tours. Yes, that's indeed true. Aussie psychics are indeed turning up on shows. There's been tours this year, mostly Americans, and lots of TV shows. Yeah, that gives us a yes. But then we have Julie Jara also getting a yes. She says we'll understand the human body more this year. New technologies happen every year. Yes, indeed, organ rejection becomes less and less likely. That's more to the credit of science than foretelling the future. That's a yes for 38. For number 39, we have Frances Bevan claiming that the drought would break in October 2007. No. And for 40, our last one, Heather Alexander claims that strong earth tremors would hit New Zealand in early May, but the only earthquake that was really recorded happened in October for New Zealand. So the earth might move under your feet, but the prediction comes tumbling down. That's a no. So what gives us the final tally? If you have a look for yourself, we've got a total of 6 for yes, 4 for vague, and 30 for no. You might start asking yourself, well, why doesn't the psychic directory also do a similar tally? Start looking back at what sort of things their psychics are saying and really start questioning. Well, maybe that's wishful thinking. Until then, I guess the only cherry picking I'm going to be doing is the real sort. Happy holidays.
We're back. That was a great show.
That was magical.
I love those predictions from the psychics.
Oh, unbelievable. I can't believe how wrong they could be.
Thanks to Kylie Sturgis, who did that video report from us, a change of leadership in the Labour Party. Kylie Minogue will create a new venture such as a holistic spa centre. Well, I'll go there.
How about this one? A volcanic eruption will occur on the Indian subcontinent, being the largest on record.
Well, the Indian subcontinent is the largest Indian subcontinent on record. Maybe they don't.
I don't know. But it's funny, psychic, they're always vague. They try and say sound specific, but they always put in a probably, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them give names and addresses and dates of actual events that are going to happen to specific people.
And do it...
And put in a sealed envelope.
More than one in a thousand.
More than one in a million.
More than one in a million. Good. That would be good. They might have some predictions about us. We better be careful.
Oh, look out.
Hmm. Well, I'll leave you reading your Spellcraft magazine.
Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, look, I'm going to get some nice decorations on the back there too. Beautiful pendants.
Ooh, lovely.
And things.
Oh, yeah. Now, next week's episode will be our Christmas special, whatever that means. The last episode for the year, but we'll be back early next year for some more episodes. Mm. And we've got a special interview with Chrissy Wilson, who we saw briefly in the report from the Hobart Convention.
Oh, that'll be good.
Great skeptic who's come here from the UK, a real treasure.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that's going to be good. And,
all right, sure.
And by the way, thank you once again to all the people who have been watching for
and
continuing
writing,
your support
yeah.
and writing and stuff, because it encourages us. I know we don't need much encouragement, but you know, if we get a bit, then we keep it going. We keep all the good material coming.
We try.
As well.
Thank you very much for the nice comments. Keep them coming. We really appreciate it.
And don't forget, add us to your favourites. Do the little rating thing on YouTube.
Rate us and subscribe to the Reedsa channel, R-I-E-D-S-A, the channel that this program's carried on.
Yep.
And check out Stefan's channel.
Yes.
Which is?
Sirius 01, which is CYRIUS01.
And you get more hits than me.
I don't know about that. You're doing pretty well. You're doing pretty well.
See you next time, Stefan.
We'll catch you soon. And thank you. We'll see you at the next tank.
Okay.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Tank Podcast. Please drop us an email at cosmicspoon@gmail.com.